Hello, welcome to the Catch Up Plenty on today.
Yeah, we met the Bachelor, Marty J.
Oh, yes.
I really enjoyed that.
Mm.
You learnt something too, Marty.
What did I learn?
I don't know.
Fake boobs.
Yeah.
You poke them hard enough.
Mm.
Don't finish that sentence. Mick Molloy is joining us as well. Herpes has cost one international superstar $1.1 million. We'll get to that.
Wow. It's a lot for herpes. And we spoke about spying on your kids. And a little bit of shouting at kids sport, why Robin and Marto's voice, both of their voices are a little bit strained today. Have a nice catch up.
We're just hearing about that USS Ronald Reagan. Is that one of the biggest ships ever to be in the Brisbane River? What is it? More than 300 metres long?
Yeah.
It would have to be because it's got two nuclear reactors on board. It's propelled by nuclear power.
We never used to let them in the river before.
That's what I remember. I remember we used to be like, no nuclear ships here. Thanks very much. So that's obviously been changed.
Well, they spend a lot of money, I think. Hey, did you see it on the news last night? And there was no normal suspects. Whenever there's an enormous plane or an enormous ship comes in, they always go and have a look. People take their kiddies down. It was a lovely afternoon. The cameras caught hold of a few of them.
It's the first time I see something as huge as this.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, it's pretty big, I guess.
See, what an afternoon, eh? You missed it.
Okay, so they're saying on the Wikipedia site that the ship's company is 3,200, but the air wing is 2,480. Do you add those two things together?
Oh.
What's an air wing?
Well, that's so it's a naval ship, but because it's an aircraft carrier, it's got pilots, and they're part of the Navy as well, but I think it's part of the air wing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're the pilots and those sort of engineers and stuff like
I heard just over 3,000, so run with the 3,200. Because how much do you reckon? So they've got 4 days off. They've been out off Shoalwater Bay, out off Rockhampton and stuff, doing their exercises. They've been on the water for 3.5 months. So they finally get 4 days off, and this is how much they spend each a day.
The shore leave is a reward for all of their hard work, with every single one of these sailors expected to spend up to $1,000 a day.
On what?
Cuddling
a koala at Lone Pine is only about $25.
Well, there's a chance they'll have some of these. Did you see when they hopped off, they were offering them Forex and VB, and they had a taste?
Tastes good. It's good.
It's better than Budweiser.
Todd Carney's urine's better than Budweiser. Honestly, they'll have a go at anything. All right, how do they spend their money, this bloke?
I'm getting ready to play a round of golf out here. This is some golfing weather out here.
You are.
Well, that's true.
Not.
Yeah, that's a good message back to the family in Japan or wherever they're stationed.
They are stationed in Japan, actually. That's the other thing I thought was interesting.
Yeah. The USS Ronald Reagan cooks. They bake 1,500 cookies per day, National Geographic tells me.
Yum.
What?
Wow.
So there's someone on board. So imagine that. So you're out and about. Let's say you're a young lady and there's some attractive young sailors walk into a bar and you say, what do you do? Oh, I fly one of the fighter pilots, the planes. Oh, great. What about you? Oh, I man one of the big guns. What about you? I'm the cookie. On board.
I make the cookies.
The cookie
Mind
shy.
You, I love a good cookie. Like, really? Come on.
Unless you're the chef on board and you're Steven Seagal from Under Siege, it's not exactly the most exciting of the jobs, I would imagine, on the aircraft carrier.
What would they, like $1,000, so they'd all get hotel rooms?
Yes.
And then they'd
have to fill the hotel rooms?
Well, you got 4 days. They all walked off in casual gear yesterday.
Yeah,
so you don't
go back
to the boat. You don't go back to the boat to sleep.
No, you can, but you wouldn't want to. You'd be out of there.
Yeah,
You'd want to be in a king size bed as opposed to a bunk.
Apparently, most of them just said, "I want to go to the car." You know, they'd heard about the Gold Coast. They just head straight down there and spend their money on things like this.
Get some food, enjoy the place, look at some koalas.
Relax, find some Wi-Fi and some sunshine.
Go to the beach, hug a koala, just see it all.
Go to the beach and hug
beach
a koala.
Sandy koalas.
The big story, Marto and Robin coming out of the NRL this weekend is sort of a two-parter from the Melbourne and Canberra game, which is that Billy Slater was taken out late by one of the Canberra Raiders players. It was late, it was high, it was on purpose, and he wasn't sent off. Billy Slater was taken off the field on a stretcher. And
he was unconscious. Was he actually knocked out?
Oh, God,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
that's awful.
They reckon he's okay as of yesterday. He's got a headache, but he'll probably miss next weekend and might be right after that. Did you hear that? Well, here's some of the audio of it.
Slater has just been smashed by Soliola.
Hang on,
absolutely hammered in the background.
Ooh, the ball.
Massive shot.
The Melbourne players all go to check on Soliola and say that's not called for. And they like the way Billy was dealt with.
All right, can I read you one? You know, Crash Craddock in the Courier Mail.
Yes.
He's got good probably writer. The best. Because they're talking about, if you saw it, he'd pass the ball, it was well and truly gone, he'd relax. There's the biggest thing about hitting people late. They relax, and he's then Soliola has cocked his arm and hit him high. Crash Craddock, you know, why wouldn't you get sent off for treating the head of Australia's greatest fullback as if it's a bottle top that needs to be knocked off a cold stubby? That's what it looked like. You're just trying to knock his head off.
Okay, so here's me, who doesn't understand a huge amount of rugby league. Is that not considered a send-offable offence?
I reckon it's one of the worst things you can do, hit someone late and high.
Yeah, because that would be like a yellow or even a red card soccer.
No. If it was soccer, it's a straight red. So all he did was put it on report, which means trying to get someone else to deal with it. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't see it in the touch. He didn't see it. But
what?
They go to video review, video referee, like endlessly. There's no, and then rugby union, they do it for professional fouls now. So if you're going to do it, you might as well do it properly, because that was clearly a send off.
Do you know what is interesting though? They haven't graded it. You know how they grade it 1, 2, 3, four. They said it was.
They haven't.
They said it was ungradable, and it's up to the panel's discretion on how they.
Oh, he might get 8 weeks then.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't know who Soliola is, because he keeps changing the length of his hair, he used to be at the Roosters.
No,
he's a Samoan, but he used to be at the Roosters. He's 30 years of age. Should know better.
It was on purpose. Let's not kid ourselves. Mm. It was late high. It was definitely on purpose.
His coach, Ricky Stewart, has obviously said to him, make sure you hit Slater. Don't let Slater get a second touch. Because sometimes Slater will throw that ball and then he'll track on the inside and get a return ball, and next thing you know, there's a try. Ricky Stewart's gone, obviously. Somebody's gone and said, make sure you take Billy Slater, put him on the ground so he doesn't get another touch.
Then the press conference, he's famous for this. We asked the question before the song. How much has Ricky Stewart paid in fines for comments about referees? It's $10,000 a go. How much is he up to yet so far?
$125,000 he's paid in his coaching career for bagging referees. So would you have thought that he may have learnt?
Is that personally out of his money?
That's a very good question. Ed, what do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think you would keep doing it. I just don't think you'd keep doing it. If you were over 100...
You'd get in trouble from the missus, wouldn't you?
That's right. If you had to keep cutting checks. Let's hear a little bit of what Ricky had to say about the referees.
Why don't the NRL get the referees to come in and answer some of these questions too? Or Tony Archer. When do they ever, ever have to face any accountability? Now, the best thing the NRL done is just keep finding me and whacking the hell out of me so I don't say anything, to try and create some accountability in the game.
All right, so he's saying bring the referees into the press conference, then you guys can ask him questions, as in the journalists.
Why don't the refs come in? I actually think that's a really good idea. Why should they? Well, because what? Does that assume then that all their decisions are fine and they're above conversation?
Sometimes they make mistakes. They have the video review. Of course, there's going to be partly human error. That's part of the game. That's the way it is.
Did you hear Triple M yesterday afternoon? Yeah, they go on for 5 or 6 hours about rugby league. Harrigan virtually put his hand up and said, I'll go back to being the boss of the referees.
Oh.
There's a big one.
Yeah.
Can I just run one more by you? Ricky Stewart. Just analyse. Tell me what this all means.
I walk into the change rooms there. I've got 47 texts. I never turned my phone on after the game, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't wrong in what I was thinking tonight. 47 texts. Every one of those texts agreed with every fan out there and everything I believe in, what I seen in that game tonight.
You got what?
47 texts.
He went to Texas.
Texas?
Them.
Texas.
That remote place in Queensland.
Can someone get on to Ricky?
Queensland.
T-E-X-T-S. How does that spell? Texas.
Okay, very good.
Guys, he's going to be doing the drive show on Triple M next year with Jane Kennedy.
When does that start?
Oh, hello, Mickey.
Hello, mate. Well,
next year.
It's next year, is it?
Yeah.
She's
been
a bit cracking.
What have you done so far? Because I saw Jane the other day and asked her that question. So what do you say, Mick Malloy?
I've come up with a name.
What is it?
Drive Time. That's all I got.
With?
Well, I don't know. You know, what do you do?
You go with Mick and Jane or?
Jane and Mick.
Jane and
Mick. That sounds like a kid's book. Remember those? Oh, no, it was Dick and Jane.
Fun with Mick and Jane.
Fun with Mick and Jane.
Well, there you go. We could call that.
You are going to have to do some showbiz on that. So we thought we'd start sort of, you know, because Janie loves her showbiz. So
sure does.
We've got Robin Bailey here, who's
our
showbiz expert. Robin, there's a story that's popped up that you thought Mick might like to know about.
Have you heard about Usher, Mick? What's happened with Usher?
I don't know anything about Usher, so fill me in. What do I need to know?
Well, He's just caught himself in the middle of a million-dollar lawsuit where an unnamed woman has claimed that she got genital herpes from him.
Well, you know, he's giving something back to the fans. I mean, I would have thought just suing him, that's like, you know.
It's a bit ungrateful is what you're saying.
I mean, well, in the old days, they used to love it. They'd get like, what do you call it, those love bites.
Yeah, yeah.
Autograph their boobs.
Yeah.
Now, genital herpes. Off you go, another satisfied customer.
Well, you know how much he's got out of him, though?
How much?
$1.3 million.
$1.38 million.
Has he paid that? Or
obviously, obviously it wasn't to keep it quiet. I mean, surely there'd be some kind of hush clause in there. Yeah. Or thrush clause. Yeah. I don't know.
It gets better because the document also features a check for the amount of $2,754 to pay for the woman's medical expenses.
Jeez. On top of the bill.
On top of the bill. So he signed it, given it to her, and she's given it to a doctor. So there's no getting out of this. He is responsible. Because that would be the thing I would have thought. He'd go, well, prove it's mine.
Prove it's mine. That's new. That's new for herpes. Can you do a herpes paternity test?
This is, Usher. I mean, is this a status thing in the rap community? Is that a good thing?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, if he really wants to get his cred levels up, will he write a check for syphilis or something? Where does he go from here?
But surely the way that rappers and R&B singers pay off people who they've given herpes to is that they make it rain dollar bills.
Oh.
The million comes in one.
Here's my first installment.
Rain.
I think that's probably the venue where he got the herpes in the first place.
Can you explain to me, though, as a group of blokes listening to this, why would you keep having unprotected sex? If you're a celebrity who hands out cash, why would you keep doing that to yourself? I do not understand.
I'd just be happy to have someone else involved. I'd take that as a
Didn't
win.
Didn't you sue yourself once?
I did. Gave myself a right royal seeing to in court. I'm still writing myself
still
checks.
Still writing himself checks for that one. All right, Malloy, we're looking forward to this drive show when and if it ever gets going.
In Brisbane, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Every week.
Yeah, in Brisbane. No, you're on in Brisbane.
What could go wrong?
Nothing. Like Usher said, what could go wrong? Thank you, Mick.
See you, guys.
I just want to ask about sporting carnivals because I know, Marto, you've certainly lived your life in the rugby world.
Yeah.
But I've just come back from 5 days in Cairns. My son was competing in the Queensland titles for the Met West team. And we, over the last 5 days, I was watching 7 games of football. And I watch a lot of football anyway across weekends. And when it's just club games, I tend to be less engaged. But there was an absolute emotional roller coaster that happened.
This is for the Queensland Championship.
Yeah, it is.
And potential naming in a Queensland team.
Exactly right. And so I wanted very much because, you know, he wasn't with his coach and his normal team. I felt like I had to be his cheerleader. I had to be his support base. I had to be his chef. Mm. And also I had to be his mum. I don't think I actually did many of those jobs particularly well. But the one thing that I really struggled with was on the sideline. It was coping with the stress of just engaging with these games. And, you know, that every single point, every single thing matters. Now, Lewin, my 15-year-old, was the Met West striker. And so, you know, it comes down to a lot of the times he's got to get it in the goal.
Yeah.
After about the second or third game, when I'd scream myself stupid and my son had told me to shut the hell up.
Oh, so he had addressed you from the field?
Not from the field, but afterwards. Right, I said, I can hear you, Mum. Please shut up. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I cope with this? Because I'm sure I lost weight over the last 5 days because I was pacing. I just started to pace. I'm not great. Ed, you'd be very ashamed of me. I've watched so many games of soccer and yet still not overly good on the rules.
Yeah, it's not... There's a university course you can do on offside, but it takes 5 years and it's not.
Yeah.
Because you never get a job at the end of it. I understand that. That's fine. You're passionate and that's nice that you're there for your son and he's doing well. He's in a good team. He's trying to play for Queensland. I can understand why you get very emotional. Now, Marto, you've also spent some time on the sidelines over the weekend. Your voice has gone a little bit. I think it might have been for some... Is that because you were shouting at your son's rugby game?
Yes, and then also at the A grade that was played last week, I was shouting all afternoon on Saturday.
Were you?
I had a great time. And I noticed my wife is a pacer too. She follows the game.
Yeah.
I just stand in the sun and go, this is beautiful. And if the referee makes a bad decision, I remind them what the actual laws of the game are, because I'm also a referee and I'm just trying to help out.
We did establish that on Friday, that the mums yell at their children and the dads yell at the refs.
And it's so bad. I'm like,
how does Kath go? How's Kath on the rules of rugby?
Oh, that doesn't matter. She's personal encouragement. She doesn't get tied down with the intricacies, no.
No? Is it embarrassing?
I got into a little, not a tiff, but correcting the referee, and somebody said something else. I said, listen, unless you're a referee, shut up. Are you allowed to do that?
Marto School of Education. I am that guy,
and that's a...
Would you take it outside? Like, you know...
I went for a walk then.
Oh, were you that angry?
Kath grabbed my arm because it was a yellow card too, which can affect the game. I hate that when people get sent off and the rules actually and the referee got it wrong. Okay, so I went for a walk.
So Kath said, Marto.
Kath took me away.
Or Greg.
Yeah,
it was time
Greg.
You walked.
It wasn't Marto. It was Greg, and went away. And that's what happens. Doesn't this happen every Saturday and Sunday at sports fields? As long as it doesn't go any further than that, I went for a walk, settled down.
Came back.
Did it change the game? I went and stood somewhere.
Are you superstitious? Because one of the things that I was doing mind games with myself, thinking, well, when I walked away, they scored. So maybe I should walk away more.
Last week, we watched the same ground at Jeeps over at Ashgrove. We watched from one side and we lost. So we went and watched from the other
side. See? Are you superstitious, Ed?
No.
Well, wait until you have a kid, Ed. It is the most amazing thing. You are completely drained by the end of it.
You poor, I can see your faces, your voices today. You poor things.
Desperate.
It's quite remarkable. I've never seen the both of you so distraught.
On Friday night, you take that. It's because it's your child. Because on Friday night, you can do a quarter final of the Super Rugby and keep it nice and unbiased and keep it straight down the line. But as soon as your kid gets involved.
Oh, my God. And you just know what it feels
if
like.
If ever there's a weekend, I'm just walking along and I see Marto just doing a lap of the Brisbane River, doing some freestyle. I'll be like, oh, things must have gotten really bad. The walk didn't work.
Marto, Ed and Robin. It's the new Triple M.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen. But he got through the first one fine. And then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about. And yeah, that was the scariest one because he was sort of shut down sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes. And
I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Australia's newest eligible bachelor is Matty J. He is the bachelor. It kicks off Wednesday, 7:30 on Channel 10, a new series. Matty J is in the studio. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, I love your show. Such a guilty secret I have that I watch it and really enjoy it.
We've never had this chat.
No, I do. I love The Bachelor.
Why do you love it so much?
I don't know, because I'm old with kids and a single mum and I get to voyeuristically live through someone else's life. And I sit there and I judge and I can become the harshest critic in my lounge room and I can say anything I want to my television and no one knows. Were you genuinely heartbroken when Georgia didn't pick you?
It was. I was very much so. It was because people say, come on, it can't be that real, can it, with cameras and producers? But for me, it definitely was.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Marto?
I have no idea.
So basically last season, Georgia Love, it was Bachelorette, and she picked Lee over Maddie in the final rose ceremony.
Oh, Lee Castledine, I remember that.
Right, okay. So it was Maddie who didn't get the woman, and everyone loved him, and so then they decided that Maddie needed to have his own show and be the next Bachelor.
Oh, so you've already had a go.
This is round two. It is, yeah.
Oh, you interested now?
Oh, vaguely. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but hold on. How much money are you worth? Like we were talking before, Prince Harry, eligible bachelor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Elon Musk, I guess he's an eligible bachelor. The bloke who thought of Tesla. Leo DiCaprio. Yep. What do you got?
A good sense of humour.
You haven't got a plane or any. Have you got a vessel?
That was part of the concern when they asked me, and I kind of thought, well, I'm not a doctor. I don't have a flashy sports car. I don't have my own house. Am I really suitable to be the bachelor?
But you're a nice guy, and for chicks, in the beginning, it's all about the looks, and then we'll say, what do you do? But if you've got a sense of humour and you're a nice bloke and you were so sensitive and lovely on the last series, I'm gunning for you, Maddie.
Thank you very much.
I am, but I need to talk about your tattoos.
Yes.
I have a question. I'm looking at a photograph I took from a magazine. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were flipping through. We said, oh, yeah, we're excited about The Bachelor coming up on Channel 10. We're looking at some nice photos of you, Maddie, in good shape. And then my wife said, what's that? And I looked down, and on one of your biceps, I can't remember which one, you have a tattoo which has a skull in the middle of it, and the skull's eyes have been replaced with dollar signs. And around the... this is true, is it not, Maddie? Oh, so far, so true. Yes, this is true.
Robin's got the magazine open.
I want the shirt off. I want to actually see it. Keep going, Ed.
And around the skull, it says, eyes only for you. Now, what is the story behind this bizarre tattoo?
My mate in London was a tattoo artist. And he drew it up and said, do you want it on your bicep? And I said, sure.
Yeah, sure. How old were you?
It's 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Maddie. Okay, keep talking about the ones on your legs, on your ankles.
I've got 23 on my foot. And then on one foot it says, live for your smile. The other foot says, die for your kiss. And then I've got...
That's not bad.
On my thigh, I've got fingers crossed, which says, luck ain't got a damn thing to do with it. Yeah. But these were all in London. So when I came back after 4 years, my mum picked me up from the airport.
Oh, no.
To surprise me, and saw them all and thought they were a joke and was trying to rub them off.
It didn't come off. Is the 23 for Michael Jordan? Is that what that's about?
No, that's actually my mum's lucky number. So I got the 23 for mum.
You know, that's Warnie's number too.
It is, and yeah, Beckham as well.
Got it for Warnie.
Clark.
Okay, so you've clearly finished this series. It's all in the can.
Correct.
How was it? You're not going to give us and I don't want you to, because I do actually enjoy watching week to week. But how is the process? Were there lots of wonderful women? Was it, you happy how it ended?
The women were fantastic. Did not make it easy at all. Each rose ceremony was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. But I can confirm I'm very happy right now. And I did meet someone great.
Is she moving to Brisbane?
Oh, you'll have to wait.
Robin talked about in the can. Now, just about their boobs. Okay. Robin's got that magazine open.
Okay,
are you allowed to touch, or
have
you just
got
to trust your own visual judgment? Does it matter to you whether they're fake or not?
No, not for me. I never made a decision based on whether someone had fake or real boobs.
But you speculated in your own mind, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, in cocktail dresses, I think. Mm. Are they?
What's going on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great answer.
Well, we'll all find
you're
it.
On notice. No.
Yeah, he's
on
notice. Absolutely. Yellow card you, mate.
Wednesday, 7:30, it starts. It's always my favourite episode when they get out of the car and do their little routine to impress the bachelor. It's going to be a lot of fun. Matty J, best of luck.
Brizzy boy.
Yeah. Well,
went to St. Peter's.
Well played,
I did, yeah.
You. Okay, we've been doing our research, checking out. Well, yeah, but it's really interesting because we asked if anyone would come and talk to us about you, and clearly you've paid a lot of people off to be quiet.
I thought I was going to get stitched up this morning, to be honest.
Well,
I'm still kind of waiting for something to happen.
What, you don't think the fake boob question was enough of a stitch?
That was a serious question.
None of your friends said they'd come on and bag you because there's nothing bad to say about you, apparently.
Wow.
Perfect.
We did ask.
Very quickly, Ed Cavalier, you're on the TV tonight?
Yeah, haven't been paying attention. The MasterChef finale, we should say, and Channel 10. And then after that, have you been paying attention? On myself, Sam, Ursula, and... Husey's on, which is a bit of
anything
fun.
Anything to look
out
Abby
for? Coleman, and Abby Coleman from our sister station from the Osher show. So anyway, no, it's good fun. Enjoy it.
Will you be doing any obstacles?
No. Finger strength is not discussed.
Okay, so coming up next, I've done something which is actually for my own security, but my kids are not happy about it. And I want to hear your thoughts on it. So let me just tell you what I've done, and then people can tell us whether they think it's right or wrong. I have put cameras into my house.
Oh.
And around my house.
Around your house is for your security. Yes, I understand. What, yes. Did you say in your house?
Yes. Well, what is the point of just having cameras around the house if someone's going to break into it? You need to have cameras in your house as well as around it.
So what's the problem?
Well, my kids think I'm spying on them.
You could.
Which I kind of could. I mean, I can, because it all comes up on my mobile.
You could remotely have a look at them. Like now you're at work, they're getting ready to go to school, well, or already gone. Yeah, they're gone.
I've got a camera in the house in a very centralized place, which I can move. In fact, I can pull it up on my phone right now and you could look into my...
So let's say quarter to seven this morning, they're in your kitchen and you could say, don't eat rice bubbles on a Monday.
Pretty much. Actually, there is an audio application.
This is your captain speaking.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that. That was an option and I never actually thought about the practical application. But you can record. Like, so the camera is constantly recording and you can go back. There's a little black box. Mm-hmm. And there are like four cameras on the outside and then there's one inside. And it's just I didn't go out of my way to tell them and I wondered how long it would take them to notice. And I put them in a couple of weeks ago and over the weekend, because I'm away, I was away in Cairns, they noticed. I mean, possibly ably assisted when I said, how come someone hasn't cleaned the kitchen bench?
Oh, really?
But what's wrong with that? Says me chuckling like some sort of evil parent.
I am fine with it. I think that you are in a situation where single parent, you've got to be at work at odd hours. They've all got different agendas. There's all different things going on. Teenage boys, as we know, don't want to do anything at all ever, which isn't just eating or something with their mates or growing long hair. So I think that you've got every single right, and I'd be interested to see.
Everyone will agree with that too, Ed, because whenever we say you should check on your children's phone, you pay for it, you're allowed to check on any time. But this is like diving into your kid's diary years ago.
Yeah, so my question is, how do you do it? How else do you do it?
How do you spy on your kids?
Spy on your kids.
Yeah.
Great question. How do you spy on your kids? Remember there was a spate of parents trying to get on Facebook and add their kids, but kids were like, nah, mum, I'm not adding you. You're not cool. So how do you do it? How do you spy on your kids? What technical ways do you do it? Do you still do the old-fashioned ring the parents of the friends to find out whether or not they are where they said they were going to go?
Yeah.
How do you do it? How do you spy on your kids?
Location anklet.
I reckon you do it too, Mato. You don't do it as obviously as I do. As a single mum, I just feel like I need an extra security, because it's no point in me having a baseball bat under my bed, because what the hell am I going to do with it? I need to have more things that, you know, make me feel more secure. Having a big dog.
Chainsaw.
I couldn't find a trident. Yeah. Anyway, want to know, how do you spy on them, Steve of Bald Hills? What do you do?
Oh, I've actually catfished my teenage son. He's 16. I created a fake profile on Facebook. And fortunately for me, teenagers add random people. He won't add me to his Facebook page, but he adds randoms. So he's added this random teenage boy to his Facebook page and his Snapchat profile. And he Snapchats me and he Facebooks me. So.
Oh, my God. That's so he didn't even have to go false boobs.
No, I didn't go the girl path. I just went a teenage boy playing football down in Sydney. Oh, yeah. And
good work.
There you go. And Steve, now you can keep tabs on him.
Yeah, I know exactly what he's up to. And he doesn't tag me. Like I don't post on his page. I don't respond to his snaps.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I don't respond to his snaps, but he sends me Snapchat, so I know exactly what he's doing. and he sends me Facebook, and I see his Facebook profile, and I know what he's up to.
Yeah. But hang on, and this is from someone who's been in this position. What happens if you find something that you don't like, and there is no other way that you would know about it if it wasn't for the fact that you're on social media?
Oh. I will just say that Dad is everywhere.
Yeah, Dad is everywhere. Omnipotent presence. Well done, Steve.
Wow, that's brilliant. Brett's
from the Gold Coast. Now, Brett, how do you spy on the kids?
So I work at a shop called OzSpy. We're all over Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
But we specialise in hidden cameras.
Oh, what do you put them in? Give us an example.
Okay. Well, I build a custom range that can go into backpacks, purses, bum bags, clocks to the wall.
But teddy bear's eyes.
Sorry, say that again.
Can you put them into toys' eyes like they do in the movies?
really that you're only limited by your imagination on where they can.
Could
go
you put them on there?
Because they're so small.
The towel rack in their bedroom, because that's never been used, as far as I can tell.
Well, we put them in. There's a lot that are in clocks these days, like desk clocks, yeah. And some that actually do 330 degree vision, so you can see it on your smartphone or smart device. God. And you can actually swipe the screen, and it'll then turn the camera 330 degrees so you can see the whole room and you can hear audio as well. And you can actually tap a microphone on the screen, on your touch screen, yeah. And speak through the device so that, like you were saying before, if the kids are playing up or they haven't made their lunch for school or whatever, you can say, righto, get to make your lunch and it's 8 o'clock, time to get out the door, the bus is on its way.
Oh, remote.
How much are they?
So they range from $195 through to $595 for the custom range.
How's business? Are you selling plenty?
Actually, more and more. The more that it gets out there that people that know that these products are available, God. And they're available from a bricks and mortar store instead of just eBay, where you just don't know what you're going to get from China or wherever, our products are here and people are finding out more and more about it. So,
pervy backpacker operations. You get any of that sort of... Are you worried, if you worry that some of them are using them for pervy reasons?
Oh, look, I try not to go there, Marto.
Yeah, righto.
Because, you know, you just want to have faith in the human race. Well, yep. That's how I look at it. So I just look at it as their helping tools. So last year I sold one to Stephen Rice from 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they're just trying to work it.
Afghanistan, I think it was.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, did you sell some headphones to a woman called Cassie? <'Cause that's laughs> how that went.
Smart Ed and Robin, you Triple M.
Cocaine Cassie, I know how much you love her.
Australian hero.
I'd forgotten about her.
Had you? Yeah.
Where's she going?
Well, she's still in a Colombian prison awaiting, I don't know what they're waiting for, I guess for her to go to trial, because, of course, how many was it? 22 sets of headphones with cocaine?
Oh, come on. It was only 15 or 16.
Jeez, you've already started.
Gone too harsh. Wow.
Inflate what's happened.
Right, all right. Anyway, accused drug trafficker, Cocaine Cassie, Australian woman from Adelaide. But it seems that a deal could be cut for her. And there are choices, and they're big life choices. So I want to pose these questions to you as to which one you would choose. You can either do Cocaine Cassie, 30 years in a Colombian prison.
So I'm Cocaine Cassie right now?
Mm. Yeah.
Huh? Excellent.
Yes. Oh, yes, okay. You are. You are.
What do you sound like?
You're fine.
Oh, don't worry. You'll soon find out.
Okay. So either Cocaine Cassie, you are 30 years in a Colombian prison, or... Mm-hmm. You can do a deal with prosecutors.
And... sort of deal.
Oh, good. Nice. There we go. There we go. Here she is. You can cut your
you got
jail
any KFC?
No. You can...
KFC.
You have to name the drug syndicate members who supplied the cocaine for
Pedro,
you.
Pedro, Miguel, Sanchuro.
Pedro.
Sanchuro. Manny.
But, Cocaine Cassie, if you do that with some sort of legitimate answer to the question, you'll have to be put on witness protection for the rest of your life.
I'm going back to being Ed now. I think that cocaine...
Where is the witness protection? In
that's
Colombia?
Right. Good question.
They have been a bit vague on that, but I have a feeling she'd be deported straight away and brought back to Australia.
Ooh, the boyfriend's here, don't forget. He was that's pretty true. Scaly.
Come on.
I think you got to take the deal. I know that it's that people get, taken out pretty regularly in and around the Colombian drug trade. If that, I saw a documentary called Narcos. It didn't look too friendly.
But those two police officers that finally got, what's his face? Who was the big drug lord?
Escobar.
Pablo, they're still alive. I always thought that was kind of interesting.
I take the deal. Mato, what do you do? Cocaine Cassie, you are now Cocaine Cassie. Do you take the deal or do you wait it out?
If you promised I didn't have to go back and live in Adelaide.
Adelaide's not that bad.
This could be a real win. Actually, this could be a win.
Yeah, she's moving up the ladder.
In fact, Adelaide is probably the safest place to be.
Not around Snowtown.
No, that's true. They have more serial killings there than anywhere else in the country.
So what about you, Robin? You're now Cocaine Cassie. Take the deal or not?
30 years in jail or get a new life? Because she was a personal trainer before.
Yeah, I couldn't. I just think you would spend the rest of your life, you'd spend the next 50 years, she's 22, the next 60 years looking behind your shoulder and wondering what the hell was going on.
Yeah, take a risk.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah. See, I kind of believe that if she was innocent, then she'd be fine. But therefore, she's quite possibly guilty. So maybe she should stay there.
Where would you go? Do they, you know, witness protection, do they say what's your preferred?
No, they just send you wherever they want to. And then you have to have people that live near you, or you have to live in safe houses.
Who pays for that?
We do.
Headphones.
Headphone money.
I hope you're all rugged up this morning, because last night you heard in the news, one of the coldest in Brisbane for years.
Forget Brisbane. It'll be even colder. Did you hear Amberley was minus two?
Oh.
Jeez.
Is that what everyone will be saying when they get to work this morning? I said it briefly thinking, oh, you'll
Your
tell me to pull
my
stinging. Head in. My eyeballs were stinging this morning.
That's how cold it was. My friend Pete just sent me a photo in Silkstone and it was 0 degrees at 6:54.
Jeez.
It's cold. Come on. Let's play this silly game.
Yeah. Are we playing the how cold was it?
Yep. Let's do it.
Right.
How cold is it where you are, or how cold was it when you got up this morning in Brisbane?
Gail of Wood Hill. How cold is it?
6 degrees out my way.
And are you going, how did you sleep through the night, Gail? Did you have the heater on? Did you have some doonas? What was the body heat? What was the go?
I didn't notice it last night. I just had the doona on.
Yeah, it's when you get up. Now, what was it when you first got up this morning?
I have no idea. I don't know till I got into the car.
Oh, right.
Yeah, where is Woodhill? Where is it?
Isn't Woodhill near Ipswich?
It's near Beaudesert. Past Jimboomba.
Okay. Righto. Thanks, Gail.
Thank you, Gail.
6 degrees.
Hey, Luke, you're at Everton Hills. What was it this morning?
Saying 5 degrees in the car, Marto, but I really think it's colder than a mother-in-law's kiss.
Oh. Wow. You obviously had one to know.
Yeah, good to get one of those, Lukey. Thank you, Luke. Well played.
And another Luke. From Augustine Heights, how cold is it?
4.2.
Ooh, what Augustine Heights.
It was 4.2 at 6:57, and it felt like 2 degrees. And I had ice on my windows.
Ooh.
The missus woke me up because she was a bit cold, so I had to throw on the aircon, and yeah.
And shorts today, Luke?
I was wearing shorts, but still am right now, and I'm going to get changed into my long pants for work.
Okay, can you just explain to me what the glory about wearing shorts in temperature like this?
Your legs
I
don't
do
get
not
cold.
Understand.
Your legs don't get cold.
But why are you so proud of it?
Because
it makes you tough.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pretty much.
Okay. Jason.
Here we got Jace. Jace.
Hello.
What was it this morning?
Well, it was zero at Pine Mountain this morning, and I'm on my way to Warwick now, and the dash still says zero here at Warrell View. So, yeah, it's pretty cold out this way.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
That's unreal.
And how are you dealing with it, Jace?
Oh, well, we've got the heater on, so, yeah, we're fine.
Is there frost in the paddocks?
Yeah, mate, yep, there is.
Nice.
Can I make a suggestion that on mornings like this is potentially, for those that like having snuggles in the morning, it's your window of opportunity, because we're cold and we want to be warmed up.
It's a great idea.
And, you know, if you can tolerate a few cold feet and toes just for the first minute or so.
Would you snuggle with a bloke that went to bed with his socks on?
Not as tough as you with your shorts on, but, you know, I mean, if that's what's required, cold feet are
image.
Freezing.
Right.
Good image.
Josh of Toowoomba, how cold is it?
Toowoomba?
Yeah, it was 9 degrees at midnight. Then it got down to about 5 degrees at about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then out at Gowrie Junction, it was minus one this morning.
Oh, this is minus one.
Ice on the windscreen?
Yeah, ice everywhere, all over the paddocks and everywhere.
It's going to snow. I tell you, I know that we're meant to all be petrified of global warming, but it's Toowoomba is the coldest place in the world sometimes. My sister used to go to
isn't it? If there's cloud, which there's no cloud at the moment, Josh, is there?
No, bright blue sky today. No wind either.
I'm going to make a prediction. There's going to be a ski field in Toowoomba in 10 years' time.
Imagine going down the range.
So, wow.
How fun would that be?
Josh from Toowoomba, you obviously win. Next time you find yourself in Brisbane, you're going to Bar Pacino, 175 Eagle Street, $200 to spend there. Congratulations, Josh. Just because it's cold near where you are. Well done.
Thanks very much.
Got shorts on, Josh?
Oh.
No, I've got thermals and long pants.
Well done, you, Josh. I'm with you, buddy. No toughness required. You are tough as.
On you, Josh. Marto, Ed and Robin, you Triple M. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tallis. Everyone loves Tallis. Gordon Tallis, good morning. First things first, we have to talk Ricky Stewart and referees. Ricky Stewart thinks the referees should have to go and do press conferences after the game if they've made, as he calls, mistakes. Do you think that's A, true, and B, should they have to?
No, they shouldn't. The referees are better than what they've ever been. You know, on Fox we have
sometimes if a classic side, say Parramatta, are playing against the Dogs, they play some old footage, and then when they go back to the replay place, the referee's got them wrong, but we didn't harp on it. You know, there wasn't a million replays of it. There's no doubt that they're trying their best. I think just kids sport in general, there's over 500 kids referees, and that's in all of them, walk away from the game every year. So we can't keep that happening. So I think that we've got to leave them alone. And I think it's a bit of frustration the way the Raiders are playing, you know. A couple of weeks ago, there was a couple of players swearing at each other on the field, and it's just sort of boiled over into a press conference.
Can we talk about Billy Slater?
Yes. Well, that's my lemon.
Oh, yeah. Start with your legend. Who's your women's round legend?
Well, do you know what? It was the women's game. Obviously, you know, Marto, I remember my sisters playing a game in Townsville back in 1986 or something. And it wasn't that much chop, really, seriously.
Yeah.
And probably because my sisters were playing and their fitness wasn't up there. But then to watch that game yesterday, and there was a big crowd sort of getting there, and just the quality. Like, there was a girl that kicked, and she was from New South Wales, kicked the penalty goal from the sideline. So just everything that they're doing now is sort of rivaling the men. Yeah, so it was like really good to watch, and especially the crowd turning out. There might have been about 15,000 there, you know, by the end of the game. So it was good to see.
I guess your lemon. Now, there was a vote for who's your favourite. This is by women, your favourite player in the game. It was Billy Slater.
Billy, you know, when he gets knocked out and he's got to leave the field, and the guy that did it, even though he's not that sort of player, but he did get him high that he didn't get sent off. You know what I mean? So the referees have that. So talking about referees, but it's just a decision that everybody can sit there and see it. And they had 5 minutes to make a decision.
Yeah.
And they had all the replays. And I just thought that maybe Sia Soliola should have been probably sent off for that tackle.
Well, surely that's just a message apart from anything else, Gordy. If everyone's going to see that footage today, and then that's the image of rugby league.
Rugby league's gone backwards if that's the case.
Yeah, that's the image that goes around the media.
It's the only organisation in Australia that hasn't advanced.
Yeah. Which is? Oh, well, you mean like Billy? Look,
workplaces Billy have advanced. Safety everywhere has advanced apart from rugby league. That is a terrible stain on rugby league, what happened there.
Yeah. Well, look, Billy, you know, one of the great players, he turned and he passed it and he slipped. So there's all those things going into it. But they could have made it better by just saying, okay, sorry, mate.
You're off.
You're off. Go have an early shower. And it's cold. And it's, you know, it was cold as in Canberra. So who wouldn't want an early shower?
I get that you guys want to talk about all the logistics around what was right and what was wrong. But I just want to know about Billy's head. Because I'm guessing, you being the raging bull, you would have been knocked out a couple of times in your career.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad part is you don't know where you are. You know, like, you just... You know what I mean? So you wake up and then obviously, you know, you see the concerns on your loved one's faces, and Billy's got a beautiful little daughter and a little son. So obviously that would have been concerning. But, you know, the medical staff around, I'm pretty sure it all depends what time he comes to. The good thing is Billy was conscious on the field and before he left. But it wouldn't surprise me if Billy has another week off.
All right, Gord. So, yeah. One more question before we let you go off on your day today. Are you surprised how well rock climbers are doing in Ninja Warrior?
that was brilliant. And he went up backwards too, that guy. Like.
Yeah,
he went up backwards. And I'm thinking, does he need to go somewhere? Does he need to relieve himself? Because I didn't know. And then he started going up and it looked awkward. But he got up there pretty quick.
Got up there pretty quick, Gord. Amazing.
There's a celebrity version coming, Gordy. Tell us. I reckon we should nominate you.
My bottom half weighs about three times as my top half. Which, I can't pull this bottom half anywhere.
Thank you, Gordy.
Too good.
There's a visual. And my bottom.
That's what you meant.
One of Australia's biggest music festivals, Splendour in the Grass, going down in Byron over the weekend.
Whoa, let's cancel this.
Why?
Can't get a hold of our correspondent, Hilary Martin.
She's been there surprised? Since Thursday.
That seems like a bloody long music festival. Every day I ring, how was it? Yeah, great, Dad.
What did she take down? A tent? Sleeping bag?
There was some of the greatest smuggling I've ever seen. There was about half a dozen teenagers at our house on Wednesday night smuggling vodka into soft drink bottles and then re-welding the top. It was an incredible operation.
Gosh.
It was like Breaking Bad
right.
with vodka.
Because it doesn't smell.
Every day I ring and I say, fathers are always worried, you had enough to eat. Yeah, I had a chicken schnitzel wrap this morning. That's been it, as far as I can tell. Took no food. Took one packet of chips. She said it was a big packet. That was Thursday at 5 a.m. she left home.
Well
and
done.
Lots of vodka.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Brendan, have you got any audio of this Powderfinger? Is that what we're going to hear?
Well, it wasn't Powderfinger. It was Bernard Fanning, because I said, oh, I'll keep an eye out for Bernard Fanning and Paul Kelly, the only two groups that I knew that were going to be there. And Bernard got the other boys up. The three of the other boys came up to the stage while he was up.
That would have been very cool. Like, you know, being there and having those guys come back. I mean, everyone's been screaming for Powderfinger to get back together. They did two whole sets. I mean, yes, we would have had to have survived 5 days at Splendor to see them, but, you know,
well,
awesome.
Well, yeah, someone who was there. Well, let's go to actually an official expert.
Actually, he's going to save this piece, yeah.
Well, he works at Universal Music. He used to work here at the AMS. Also does some work with Bernard Fanning. Jono, Keedles, good morning, Jono.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, going really well, mate. How was Splendor?
Yeah, tip top. Some big memories made on Saturday evening, as you mentioned, with Bernard Fanning getting up with his band Black Fins, and they played a full-on Bernard Fanning set of songs. And then to mark the 10th anniversary of the last time Powderfinger played on stage at Splendor, he brought up the three axe-wielding members of the band. It was all time. It was bloody unbelievable.
How many nights did you stay down there, Jono?
Mate, I've been down here since Wednesday, preparing last week, stretching and taping up the ankles and just getting
well played.
On. Taping up the ankles.
So how was it, Jono, compared to other years? What was the highlight, apart from, obviously, Powderfinger?
Rob, this is my 14th Splendor in the Grass, and some of those memories made on Saturday night were amazing. I mean, I'm a long-time Bernard Fanning and Powderfinger fan. That was the 22nd time I've seen Powderfinger.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. I had my younger brother on a live video call while they were playing On My Mind on stage. And during these days, there was a large group of grown men around me. I'm not confirming I was one of them who was shedding some tears. It was very, very special. And then after that, three of the best rock and roll bands on the face of the earth got on stage. Catfish and the Bottlemen from the UK were amazing. Royal Blood, also British, were incredible. And of course, Josh Homme. There's good mates with your friend Dave Grohl and his band Friends of the Stone Age.
Yeah,
wrapped up Saturday night. So Saturday night was all time.
Hey, Jono.
You're the other side of 30, like our side of 30. How do you fit in down there?
I feel very old, man. I was on a bus out to the festival from Byron Bay on Friday afternoon to the first afternoon of the festival.
Yeah.
I was in a pair of Doc Martens, I was in jeans, I was in a T-shirt, a jacket, and then a puffer jacket with a beanie and a scarf ready to go. And this girl sat next to me, she'd flown up from Wangaratta in Victoria,
yeah.
And she was in bikini bottoms with sparkles on her nipples, and I thought, you are in some trouble.
She would have found someone with a puffer jacket.
Shorty
she would have
shorts
been okay.
are incredibly warm at times, aren't they? You'd want to be. Oh, that's all they tell you.
Yeah, sparkles and glitter must have been the main source of insulation this weekend.
You don't get it. What happens is we dress like that,
yeah,
and then
happens.
When it starts to get really cold, we go, hey, fellas.
Can I have that puffer jacket?
We're really cold.
But then you run into salty old dogs like me who are nearing 40 and we are just like, switch on, Rob.
All right, Jono from Universal Music. That's a comprehensive wrap. Appreciate that, buddy.
Back to bed. Thanks, guys.